as the book of Beginnings tells us about how we're made, that God made us. And it's clear, should be clear to you and I, that we have a body, a physical life. That's the body you looked after to be here this morning. So you have a physical life. And even the world would say you have a soul life. That's an ability to think, to reason. That's your mind. You have emotions. You can be sad, you can be happy. You can actually identify emotionally with people that are in need. You have emotions. And you have a will. God has made you to have the power of choice. Every single one of us in this room has the power of choice. That's your soul. It's your mind, will, and emotions. And we each are responsible before God for our minds, our wills, and our emotions. And we also know from the Bible, there's a part to you that actually is only the only part of you that can know God. And that is your spirit, with a small s. The Holy Spirit in the Bible always has a capital S. You are made of spirit, soul, and body. And as we read in Genesis chapter 1, mankind was created by God. And in verse 26, it says here in the Word of God, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. I think God's wanting to make a point there. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, that's man. Male and female, that's gender. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the ground." So, mankind, man. If we go back to the beginning, God made man at the beginning to be like God. So, all of creation, the flowers, the birds, the animals, the mountains, are not like God. They reflect the glory of God, but they're not like God. And when God made man, he said, "I want to make man like me." Isn't that amazing? And God wanted someone like him with whom he could talk, walk with, and actually release authority to rule the earth, to be like God in the earth, under God. And so when God made man, creation is actually nothing of a reflection of what man's like. When we need to know what man was made to be like, and man's destiny, is actually to be like God. So God's original purpose for people is that they will be like God. Isn't that amazing? So that was the original plan of God, which actually hasn't changed. Some people aren't really aware of this, but God actually has emotions. You see in the Bible that if you see Jesus, he walked around and he was moved with compassion for people. At times, his emotions with religious people who didn't love people, he got angry. Wow. So God got angry. Jesus gets angry with religious people who don't love people. God has and is love. And God actually wants his love to be communicated to mankind. He wants mankind to receive his love and live out of a love relationship with him. That's why he made man. And mankind, male and female, are made for social life. So in other words, not to be an island, to live in isolation, but God made mankind to live in relationship with him, in harmony with him, and in harmony with others. And so we see this great, big, beautiful world that God created with the unique creation of all creation, which is man, mankind. And we see, if we read Genesis 1, we see that everything God made was good. And so when Adam and Eve were created, they lived in an atmosphere like heaven, where everything was good. There was no death. So Adam and Eve were not made to die. Adam and Eve were not made to have negative emotions. They weren't made for mental problems. In fact, they weren't designed for problems. They were designed to bring solutions. And they were put into a place which is really why we're like God, created to be like God, a place of what the Bible calls is dominion, which means to be rulers. And God's plan for mankind is that you and I and all of mankind would be rulers under God. So this is a beautiful, fantastic, perfect environment of which you and I actually can't grasp with our minds. Because we were already born into a time, into a world where there was sin, there was problems, there was needs. Everything is out of kilter with God. But God never made man for that. He created man for himself and for pleasure. Also for purpose. He designed mankind to live out of this purpose of ruling the earth. Imagine a life of no fear. Wow. That's the plan of God. Imagine not having one worry ever. Have you ever felt worried about something? God made mankind to never worry about anything. And so he created man for this perfect atmosphere. I was speaking to a young man recently, and I was trying to get him to start to think about God. So first of all, I thought I'd come in the kind of side door and ask him, do you believe in ghosts and demons? I thought I'd just ask the question, because it could always lead me to Jesus. I'll do anything to get round and into somebody's life. Do you believe in demons? Because of course I do, because the Bible says that Satan is real and demons are real. And he just said no, which I was rather disappointed at, actually, because I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to keep going with a door closed. I'm going to keep going with pushing this door. And I said, well, do you believe in God? And he knows I'm a Christian. And he said, I believe, and listen to this, I believe we're all gods. What a statement. I believe we're all gods with a little g. And I thought to myself, do you know what? That's what God created you to be like. You've got a desire in you to be like God because you were created to be like God. And unfortunately, somebody else came in and the conversation moved away because I'd have been able to unpack from truth, from scripture, that actually you were created to be like God, but currently you're living fallen from that state. Whilst he might think he's okay, biblically and in the eyes of God, he's not okay because he's a fallen man. God created a perfect man. And man fell. So to say, I believe we're all gods, a Christian should be able to answer that question and that comment with, actually, we were all created to be like God. That's true. But there's another side to who man is. Man was created in the beginning to be like that. But then something happened that affects every man and woman and child ever born. And that is called sin. Sin means you miss the mark or the perfection of God. And sin entered the world. In Genesis chapter 3, let's read how sin entered mankind. In Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you mustn't touch it or you will die. You will surely not die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the serpent is actually Satan in the form of this snake creature. Now remember that at this point, Adam and Eve have dominion over the things that creep. Birds of the air. So in other words, Adam and Eve are the ruler of this evil presence coming through this serpent. Remember that. Have the mind of Christ right now. And so God made man to rule. But what happened is that Satan tempted Eve and then Adam ate. And Satan tempted man to sin, to disobey what God had said. God had said, you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree, all the other fruit, you can have. But one. And there is one tree in the garden you can't eat. And basically God was saying, I have given you freedom of choice. If you're going to choose me, or choose to disobey. But let me tell you, the whole leaning of man was towards God, not towards disobedience. He wanted everything in him. His whole being cried out for God. And he loved God. But this one temptation came to man by Satan. And Jesus actually said that Satan is a murderer from the beginning. And he is a liar. Because what did Satan say? The opposite to what God said. Surely if you will eat of it, you will not die. Which isn't the truth. God said, if you do, the consequences will be you will die. Satan said, if you do, you won't die. And he's still saying the same today. Still speaking, the murderer and the liar. Saying that sin doesn't matter. And God made man to rule Satan, to win over the enemy and the temptation. Because he had the power to do it. Man was created like God. And then the serpent lied again. And actually, if you see the plan that's going on, it's a plan of suggestion, actually. You will be like God if you eat. Hang on a minute. Aren't I like God anyway? This suggestion, you'll be better off. But man couldn't be better than the masterpiece that God made him. And this liar, this murderer, wanted, the only way he could win over man was to get him to sin, to disobey, and actually separate God and man through sin. That's the plan of the devil. And so Adam and Eve sinned. And it's true. The word of the Lord came true. They died. Romans 5:12 says, sin entered the world through man. So sin entered the whole world through man. Now all have sinned, and therefore death comes through sin. Okay. Now if we can back up to the beginning, I said, at the beginning, you're made spirit, soul, and body. You see, God is spirit. He has a soul. And actually, he became a man. And he still has a body, a resurrected body. At the right hand of the Father currently. And one day he's coming back in his glory. But God is spirit. And the sin that brought death began in man's spirit or heart or inner man. The part of you that is eternal and the part of you that can know God. And so we're going to answer the question about what is man today? That's without Jesus, without receiving Jesus. Man is dead. In their spirit. Dead to God. And eternally dead. And destined for eternal hell. So what is man? God's plan created in the image of God. What is man now? Well, sin entered. And all have sinned, the Bible says. And now all then are dead in their spirit. But what happened to the atmosphere in which man lived? Suddenly, because Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God through their sin in their spirit. Satan now had the right to rule them. They actually gave the authority of rulership over the earth to Satan. He won the right because man lost it through sin and separation from God. You can't rule the earth with a separation from God. You can't win in life without being united and one with God. So, death entered through sin. Now, if you think about the product of death spiritually, separation from God, mankind no longer had the mind of God. So in other words, his brain lost power. Man was never created to have a low estate in his mind. Because he was supposed to rule the earth and not have a big job doing it. Not find too much trouble doing it. Because he was like God. His emotions began to be full of fear and anxiety. Because he knew he was out of contact with God. And he knew that now Satan could always get one over on him. He also had negative emotions in his heart. Hate very soon worked out. In the next generation, Adam and Eve's kids, one of them murdered, one brother murdered the other. Can you believe in such a short time when the fall came and sin entered and death entered, they were exhibiting the nature of Satan through their lives. It's hard to think that from such perfection, they began to live in such degradation. So what is man today? Man, made in the image of God, but fallen, is a slave to sin, can't help, can't stop sinning because his spirit is dead, and Satan has become man's master. Man is out of control where he used to be in control. Ephesians, just turn with me to Ephesians, and the word of God will help us see this really clearly, because, you know, we have been saved, but we've got to know what we're saved from, and we've got to know what state we're in now as men and women who have Jesus in their lives. Ephesians chapter 2, and this is speaking to the church and the body of Christ. And the church is different to the fallen man. Okay? If you're a believer, you are completely different to what you used to be. Like, a world of difference, a universe of difference, because of what's happened to you in receiving Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks about what we were. As for you, Judith, put your name in there. As for you, James. As for you, Allison. You were dead. You were dead in sins. Your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. When you followed the ways of this world, not the ways of God. And the ruler, now who's the ruler? Of the kingdom of the air. This is not talking about God. Because God gave the earth to man. God is supreme. But God gave the earth to man. And he hasn't taken it back. He still gives the earth to man. But righteous man. Those who are right with God. But you were under the power of sin. You were dead in sins and transgressions. You were under the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Jesus speaks about Satan as the prince or the ruler of this world. So if you're saying God is ruling the world, it's not quite true. Because God isn't ruling where there is sin. God isn't ruling where there's sickness. God isn't ruling in death. Are you getting this? So, to say that God is responsible for the mess in the world, do you know who is responsible now? Are you well taught this morning? Can you see from the Word of God who is responsible? Sinful man and Satan. And Satan, if Jesus isn't ruling, is ruling. Unless a Christian comes in and changes the rulership and exercises their authority. Ah, God has done an awesome work. So it says, you follow the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Hang on a minute. Do you know when I got saved? 6 months before I got saved, I literally broke out in perspiration. I would have said a big sweat, but I need to be ladylike this morning. I broke out in perspiration when I had a revelation that I belonged to Satan. I thought I was out from God and out from Satan, and I could just be me, an individual, free. But I didn't realize I wasn't free at all. And I woke up to the truth that I was dead and that Satan was my master. And that actually the spirit was at work in me, the spirit of disobedience. So actually I had no desire to obey God because my heart was full of sin. And there's only one who can take away the sin that was in my heart and was in yours. We've been singing about the blood of Jesus, and only one sacrifice will count and will do it. And that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I couldn't make my own way to God. I couldn't please God because I was inherently wrong. All of us lived among them. That's the people of the world who, like we used to be, are sons of disobedience. Do you know we're sons of obedience today? If we have Christ in us, we're sons of obedience. But we used to be sons of disobedience. Isn't that wonderful work God has done for us in Christ? All of us used to live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, our flesh. My flesh wanted to do this, so I did it. My flesh wanted to do wrong, so I did it. I couldn't do anything that was righteous. Neither could you. Because there's no one that is right with God without Jesus. It's impossible to be right with God without Jesus. Amen. What is man? Man became a slave to sin, a slave under Satan, a disobedient rebel, which Scripture says we were objects of the wrath of God. Oh, it makes my... If I thought that one day I would stand before God without Jesus, I would need to be scared. And you need to be scared if you're not right with God today. Because there's only one way you can stand before God and not receive any wrath, but just receive acceptance and love. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you are right with God, through faith in Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus is the Savior of the world. So what is man? Man's lost harmony with God. Man is much less than what he was created to be. Man has this desire, creation desire, to be something else. But deep inside, actually, he knows he's not. His life is failing. Spirit is dead. Soul is failing. His body is weak and sick. And eventually, physically, he will die. And then on to eternity, dependent on what he has chosen and believed and trusted in this life, eternal separation in hell or eternal heaven. You get to choose. You get to choose. By choosing Jesus or not. Now, God saw the trouble we were in. He saw that mankind were dead. This creation of all creations that he loved and wanted for himself always. And so man needed to be rescued. And God had a rescue plan. And his name was Jesus. God actually became man. And the Bible refers to Jesus as the second Adam. The first Adam failed, but the second Adam didn't. He was born, conceived of the Holy Spirit, Son of God, became man. And what he did is that he became a sacrifice, our sacrifice for sins, and God's justice for sin. So the punishment for sin in you and me is death, eternally and forever. But Jesus took the punishment upon himself. On the cross, he became sin for us. And actually for the whole world. Jesus took the sins of the whole world upon himself on the cross. He took the separation that came with that sin. He died. Having lived a perfect life, he experienced spiritual death. He experienced death on the cross. But the joy of what he did is that he took the keys back of Satan, because he was the one and only man that had the right to rule the earth. Now a man could rule the earth again. A man could come into a place of authority. So he took the keys off Satan. And when he rose again, all the powers of death and hell were broken. Even death, the last enemy, was broken. He rose again from the dead, conquering sin, conquering Satan, conquering death. Death, where is your sting? It's been swallowed up in victory. Jesus has won the victory of the ages. And he made it possible for man, fallen man, sinful man, to be one with God again. To be one with God. How? Because God's life enters those who believe. Not by trying to be a better person, but the life of God comes in, enters into your spirit, and you are made alive through faith in Christ Jesus. You have come to a second birth. You are born again. Your spirit was dead and you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. God has made it possible for every human being to have God back in their life. To have the God dimension. That's why if you're a Christian, you are not only human. Stop saying I'm only human. No, you're not if you have Christ's life in you. You have the divine and the human. Spirit, soul, and body, you're still made of that, but your spirit has become a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new in your spirit. You've been made righteous, right with God through faith. Ah, through faith, not through effort. And God himself has come to dwell in you. Open our eyes, Lord. God has come to dwell in you. That filthy, rotten sinner has become a righteous, holy saint. And God has come to dwell on the inside of you and me. We've been raised to a new life. So what is man? Well, it depends if you're a sinner still. And we've defined that. But if you are a Christian, what are you? You're different. Because you've actually received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've confessed him Lord. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And life in all its fullness. Now that abundant life is in your spirit already. You know, I like to, when I read the Gospels. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, go to the other side. And he went off to pray. And there was a storm. And Peter walked on water because he was acting like God and doing what God wanted. And but there's a storm. And when Jesus got in the boat, they got to the other side. You know, they were in the middle and they'd arrived. If Jesus gets in your boat, you've arrived. You've arrived because you have Jesus in your life. All of him. Now he comes to dwell in you. He's called the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. And the Bible says, he who has the Son has, go on, say it, life. He who has the Son has
life.
Now, does that mean spirit, physical life? Does it mean soul life? Or does it mean God life? Because you see, God's quality of life is completely different to physical and soul. And if you have the Son, you have life eternal. You have the life of God in your spirit. And I love to think about that. Do I have the Son? That's a good question. Have I received Jesus? Well, my answer is yes, I have, as my Lord and Savior. Therefore, I'm born again, and I have life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So there are two different kinds of people walking around the earth today. Those who have the Son who have life, and those who don't have the Son who have physical life, soulish life, but no life. Because he's speaking about God life. May God unveil and reveal that we have life, the God kind of life. We have been restored back, renewed in the image of God in Christ. In other words, we are like God on earth. We're back to the original plan. In fact, we're all sons of God through faith, Galatians says, in Christ Jesus. Now, thing with me, and I'm sure it is with you, I don't often see that life as I'd like to. Is anybody in this room like, I realize where I've come from. I realize God made me like that. His intention was like that. I realize I became a sinner, and I was born in sin, actually, dead. And I realize, and I believe, that I am a new creation in Christ, that I have God's life. But I feel sometimes his life in my spirit is like it's imprisoned in my soul and body. It's just, I'm always having messages and listening to messages about Christ in me, but I'm like, yeah, isn't that brilliant? But I do believe we're designed for a bit more than just having the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And sometimes I feel like my flesh behaves like a sumo wrestler. Sits on my spirit so that there's actually, it's stifled. You know, sumo wrestler? This great big bloke. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think my flesh, my soul, and my body are sitting on my spirit, flattening me, where the real me needs to come out. Has anybody ever felt like that? You feel like, hang on a minute, the problem isn't the devil because I'm the devil's ruler in Christ. The problem is my soul. It's like heavy on me, my mind, my will, my emotions just, ugh. Whereas I know what I carry on the inside of me is the very nature and power of God himself. I have God in me, Christ in me. And somehow this sumo wrestler needs to get out of the way and let God come in. From within. Now just look at Galatians, just quickly. How you doing? Bible teaching here this morning, but I trust inspirational. Yeah? Galatians chapter... Well, I'm having a good time anyway, is the main thing. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Oh, Jesus, you've done an amazing work through the cross and resurrection. It's amazing. Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, it's not saying I'm dead physically or dead in my soul, because I've got life in me. You know, I'm alive, I'm walking, I'm talking. I feel certain things. I can feel certain things, even as I'm preaching. You probably do too. So he's not talking about the life I'm living. It's just the soul life. But I've been crucified with Christ means the old, dead, in transgressions and sins me has been crucified with Christ. So in other words, the problem in my life is dead. Because if it's dead, it ain't going to get back up again spiritually. I have been crucified. That's past tense, isn't it? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Now, it doesn't mean my soul and my body, because I am living. I no longer live. Paul is saying, the old me is gone. The new me is living. I no longer live, but Christ lives where? In me. You see, so many people are thinking about God in heaven, Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and even God everywhere else except for in them. They're always looking for another solution, but the solution is already here. He has arrived. He has arrived. And so Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In me where? In my spirit. Now Paul says, the life I now live. So in other words, I now live in a different way. I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I now live in the body, that's here on earth. That's where I go to Sainsbury's or come to church meeting or wherever, walking down Taunton. The life I now live in the body. So the life I live in this temple, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of God. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think we've got to start seeing that it's faith in the Son of God who's here. Because you see, if I don't live by faith, trusting his life to fill me, then I'm always praying and asking God to change things that actually we have already the power to live a new life. And we live it by faith, not feelings. Nor, we don't live it by the flesh. We can't live it by just making decisions to. We have to live by faith, trusting the one who lives in us. See, we should be growing up from just having Christ in us to having him in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions. Come on. We should be allowing his spirit, his life, to fill our emotions. And do you know what that means? you will be the most joyful, happy person on earth. You will be the most peaceful person internally. And you know what? It's important that you're experiencing the Holy Spirit in your soul. That the Holy Spirit is pushing out any negative emotions, driving out, not allowing the negative emotions of the soul to crush the life of the Spirit. That's why we don't live by feelings, we live by faith in the Son of God in us. You see, I believe the answer for every need you will ever have is within you. Healing is within you. Healing, spirit, soul, and body, because Christ is in you. But we've got to let God out of our spirit and into our soul. You understand? Life needs to flow from within. Jesus said this Holy Spirit will become in you like a fountain springing up to eternal life. And I believe the life, the very emotions of God, we are created to live with those emotions. See, I remember, and it's normal for when you get born again. When you receive Jesus, you receive a new nature, the divine nature. And love fills your spirit and begins to almost saturate your soul so that your emotions begin to feel. Before I was saved, I'd watched my mum die a terrible death. I'd experienced awful stuff and had done awful stuff. So my soul was battered and empty. And I found it really difficult to cry. I was kind of shut down emotionally. But I got saved. Jesus came in. And he didn't just come into my spirit, he came into my soul. And I began to have love, and I had resentment in my heart towards people. People in my family, close to me. I had resentment built up over the years. But you know, when God came in, when Jesus came into my heart, my emotions began to change. I began to cry like this because of compassion. When I see the news and I see things on TV that people suffer, how many of you have a good old weep when you see the news? Well, it's the life, the compassion of God flowing through your soul because you love people. You have a compassion that flows through your soul. That's the life of God. You can't stay angry if the Holy Spirit is let loose in you. You can't be an angry man or woman. You can't be bitter because the life of the Spirit flows through your soul. You don't need to be depressed because joy is in there. Let God out. How? By faith. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is a Christian? A Christ man or woman. Jesus actually said, if you want to see God, if you want to see the Father, look at me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Listen. It should be, if you want to see Jesus, look here. If you want to experience Jesus, try me. It's what it should be. You shouldn't be grumpy anymore. You shouldn't be bitter. You shouldn't be struggling anymore. You should be living by faith in the life of the Son in you. None of us, and I'm not saying I don't struggle. Look, this week I had to repent because that's all part of letting the life of God flow in you. I kind of got annoyed with somebody this week. And when I went to pray the following morning, it's usually when I get in with the Lord, I'm praying, and the Lord says, before we go any further, there's an issue. I said, right, Lord. Thinking, oh, I don't know, I felt really stirred up by the Spirit, and everything seems to be good. What's the issue? And then he reminded me of my attitude the previous day, and I went, oh, I said, Lord, in my soul, I am not merciful. Naturally speaking, my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. But in my spirit, I am, because I am in Christ. Let your mercy flow and forgive me my sin. That I didn't show Jesus in that setting, in that moment. You see, I believe the internal life of a Christian is to be so changed that externally everybody sees Jesus. And can I go even further? I believe that the life of Jesus should be working through our bodies. We're so full of God, his life, in our soul, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all these things, kindness. The nature of God pushing out anything of the flesh. You see, the power of God is greater than a sumo wrestler. But you've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. But I believe your body and my body is made for such an anointing to be flowing through every part of our being, that the very life of God, when you lay hands on people, demons flee, sickness leaves. The power of God is working. But the trouble is, a lot of us have just got God in our spirit, but not in our soul. And you've got to get the life of God through your soul and out into your body, out through your body, through the laying on of hands. Now, it's all by faith. Because we live by faith. That's what's necessary. I believe, Lord, your mercy will flood my soul. Your love will flood my soul. I believe your joy will infect my life. I was been praying this week, and I haven't laughed so much in years. I've prayed for the life of joy, the joy of God in my soul. And you know what? I'm laughing at this. I'm laughing at that. I'm seeing dogs, cats, birds even flying around. I think that's a funny bird, Lord. I'm finding everything humorous. Whereas normally we walk around like this with the cares of the world, and we walk around with our soul depressed, and that little sumo wrestler is sitting heavy on my spirit. But I was designed that my spirit overcomes my flesh. My spirit allows the life of God to be in dominion. So the dominating force in my life is joy. Sorrow and sadness will flee away when you let God in. And out into your soul and out. Thank you, Jesus. The life from within. You see, your destiny is actually to be filled with the fullness of God. Spirit, soul, and body. And if we could see, let's look down the next year, this year of destiny, shall we? Shall we paint a different picture? Whereas our soul, our natural thinking is no longer dominating us, but the life of the Spirit. We've been being filled with God, and we know what God wants to do. And we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I believe we're coming into days of power. But the power better fill you first before it can actually overflow and touch other people's lives. Jesus wants us to draw from the well of salvation. You have a well, and he's called Jesus. Salvation is a person. Everything you ever need is within you. And you know, my soul gives me as much hassle as yours does. My body follows suit. I want. Still, your flesh is wanting, isn't it? Anybody? No, it's just me. Just me. You want to be selfish? You want to, you know, all the stuff you want to do to protect your self-image? As long as I look all right. Everything's all right. I don't want sort of anybody to see. And God says, it's time you really meant when you pray, your will be done. It's time you said, I want your will in my soul, in my mind. I don't want any ungodly thought to be allowed in my head. I don't want unholy thinking. I want God's thinking. I want the word of God renewing my mind. Your will be done, Lord, in the way that you work your love through me to love others. Your will be done, Lord, in every aspect of my will, not my will. And the only way that can happen is if the sumo wrestler is superseded by your spirit. Your soul, your flesh is yielding to the Holy Spirit. So I bring my life under your will, Father, in every area of my life. And may it be done through faith in the Christ in me. Thank you, Jesus. You see, what is man? It's not what we were, it's who we are. We're a new man. And that new man is made for the very life of God. And you and I can experience God, the God kind of life, in every dimension of our being. You were made to have God in your soul, not just in your spirit, and in your body. See, we're here for signs and wonders. We're here to reveal the nature, the character of Jesus. And anybody who will take hold of this message today and do it, and apply it, and say your will be done, and pray, Lord, I don't want this stinking thinking anymore. I don't want me in the driving seat. I want you, your spirit, flowing through every part of my life. That is our destiny. God manifest in and through us. And you know, we've only just started, but we can, if you want to, we can go further. You understand? We have Jesus, but we need Jesus filling us so that there's an overflow of God's life. And that comes through yielding, just as Jesus did. As a man, he yielded so that life could flow through him. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.